The Jack Benny Program, starring Jack Benny with Mary Livingston, Rochester, Dennis A., Bob Crosby, and your truly, Don Wilson. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go back to yesterday. It's spring again. And as we take you out to Jack's home in Beverly Hills, we find Rochester up in the attic, busy with the spring cleaning.
Well, I got all the magazines stacked up. Now I'll move this box over and... Hello, what's this? I never saw these before. A bundle of Mr. Benny's old love letters. I wonder if I should... No, I'd be a heel if I read them. But nobody would know I'm a heel but me, and I ain't gonna tell anybody. I think I'll open this pink one first. Well, look at this. My darling Blossom Boy. I've been thinking of you all day. I still thrill to the memory of how you said goodnight to me and crushed me in your powerful arms. Powerful arms? That can't be the boss. I know how excited you must be about having been elected captain of our school football team. But I can't get over your reluctance to talk about it. You're so modest. Modest? That can't be the boss. We sure had fun celebrating your election at the ice cream parlor. And wasn't it lucky I had my purse when you discovered you forgot your money? That's my boy. And another thing.
Now, Rochester, when you finish up here in the attic, Hey, what are you doing with those old letters?
I'm putting them away.
Rochester, have you been reading my old love letters?
Oh, no, boss, not me.
Well, then put them away and straighten up this pile of books in the corner.
Okay, Blossom Boy.
Oh, so you have been reading them.
Just one of them, boss. The one that signed Eloise.
Eloise. Oh, yes. Eloise Stanley. Rochester, you should have seen her. Long golden curls, big brown eyes, rosy cheeks, dimples. When she smiled, she was the silliest looking dame you ever saw. Now, come on, let's finish straightening the attic. Put that carton on top of the trunk.
Yes, sir. How about putting the... Boss, what are you looking at?
This old picture album. Most of them were taken when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. Say, who's that man in this picture here? A relative?
No, he was my first violin teacher. May he rest in peace. And, oh, look, here's a picture of me taken when I was 2 years old. Look at me lying there in bed, hugging that big teddy bear.
Yeah. Doggone, it's almost as big as the one you sleep with now.
Not quite. And this is my sister, Florence.
Who's that on the other page?
Oh, that's my second violin teacher. May he rest in peace. Oh, look, here's a picture of my graduating class in grammar school.
Gee, they sure are a nice-looking bunch of kids. Wait a minute, boss, I don't see you.
Well, I took the picture. See, I had a little photography business on the side. And look, here's a picture of our house in Waukegan.
Sure is a nice place. Who's the man standing out in front?
Oh, he's my third violin teacher.
Is he resting in peace?
I don't know. He ran away and joined the Foreign Legion. And Rochester, here's a picture of... Oh, that must be some of my gang. We're going to rehearse here today.
You want me to come down and take notes?
No, I think there'll be a lot of changes in the script, so I asked my secretary, Jeanette Iman, to come over. See you later. Gee, seeing all those pictures reminds me of the very first violin concert I gave before an audience of thousands of people. May they rest in peace. What memories. Coming. Oh, hello, Dennis.
Hello, Mr. Benny.
What are you giggling about, kid?
Well, this morning I went out in my yard and I caught a gopher.
Why should I make you laugh?
I got him in my shirt and he tickles.
Dennis, you got a gopher inside your shirt?
No, I just said that for a joke. Why didn't you laugh?
A joke?
You got no sense of humor at all.
Look.
No wonder they put your program on Sunday when people are at church.
Close the door and come inside.
Oh, am I on time for rehearsal?
You're the first one here. I asked you to come a little early on purpose. I sent you your new contract, Dennis, last week. Have you signed it?
Well, no, it hasn't come back from the doctor yet.
The doctor?
My mother knows how you like to hide clauses, so she's having it x-rayed.
Oh, your mother. She's never satisfied with anything.
Oh, you're wrong about that, Mr. Benny. She liked the present I gave her this morning for her birthday.
Say today is her birthday.
Uh-huh. Well, what did you receive on my mother's birthday, Mr. Benny?
Dennis, why should I get presents on your mother's birthday?
Oh, it's in our contract.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yeah, I don't know what to get you for Labor Day.
You'll think of something. Sing the song you're going to do on the show.
Okay. It, Mr. Benny.
Oh, I was fine, Dennis. It'll probably sound even better, you know. Come in. Oh, hello, Miss Simon.
Hello.
Well, summer must be around the corner when my little secretary comes to rehearsal in a bare midriff.
Well, the weather's kind of warm, and this midriff dress is comfortable.
Yeah, but it must be very inconvenient.
What do you mean, inconvenient?
No place to carry a gopher.
Dennis, stop. Now, Miss Simon, you know, I'm not a very strict boss, and I don't care how you dress when you're not working. But I do think those bare midriffs are a little immodest.
Immodest? But everybody out here wears them.
Not my girlfriend, Gladys. She's too modest to wear them.
Well, she's not modest. She just doesn't want to show her tattooing.
Dennis.
She has more pictures on her than Channel 2.
Now, be quiet. One little battleship, and everybody makes a big thing out of it. Anyway, Miss Simon, Excuse me. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny.
Oh, Hello, Mr. Kitzel. Hey, what can I do for you?
Nothing at all. I just called up to tell you how much I enjoyed your radio program last week.
Well, I'm glad you listened to it.
I didn't listen. I was there at the show.
Oh, that's nice. Where'd you get the tickets?
What tickets? I was nonchalantly walking down the street when all of a sudden somebody threw a sack over me, gave me a bump on the head, and the next thing I knew, somebody is whispering in my ear, "Welcome to CBS."
That's the way we get them in. Oh, I see.
And you know, when the program was over, I went back to see you, but you was already gone.
By the way, Mr. Kitzel, I haven't seen you in a long time.
Oh, this is because I now have a job as an extra in pictures. I already worked in 6 westerns.
In western pictures?
Yeah. They went that way. And smile when you say that, partner.
Say, hey, you're pretty good.
Oh, you should see me on a horse. Oh,
well, can you ride?
The best. When I'm on a horse, I'm looking like Hopalong.
Cassidy?
Who, me?
I thought that... Oh, excuse me, Mr. Kitzel. I better hang up. There's someone at the door.
You're excused. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, hi, Jack. I'm not late for rehearsal, am I?
No, come on in, Don. I'm glad you brought the sportsman with you. Hi, fellas. Say, come on in, everybody. Say, Don, how come you're dressed that way?
Oh, I just came from the golf course, Jack. I played 18 holes this morning.
I didn't know you played golf.
Yeah, I just took up the game. I take lessons twice a week now.
Oh, that's not... How are you playing?
Oh, pretty good. But I'm having a lot of trouble with my tee shots.
Well, Don, hitting off the tee is one of the easiest shots in golf. You just remember one thing. Keep your eye on the ball.
That's my trouble. I know it's down there, but I'm not sure where.
Well, with you, that could be a problem. What course did you play today?
Oh, I was out at your club, Jack, Hillcrest. And I was doing all right until I came to that fourth green, you know, the one that's down in a gully.
Wait a minute, Don. The fourth green isn't in a gully. It's on top of a hill.
Not anymore.
Look, Don, if you'd...
Come on, let's get this rehearsal over with. My gopher's getting hungry.
Dennis, you said it was a joke. Now leave it alone.
I think we ought to get started. It's getting late, Jack.
Jack? Miss Iman, you called me Jack.
What do you want me to call you, Blue Eyes?
Not during business hours. That's for night. Or drive-in movies. Now, come on, let's all go in the den and rehearse.
Boss, you can't rehearse. The Stiffs haven't arrived from the studio yet.
That's funny. They always send them to my house so we can... Hey, that must be the Stiffs now. Come in.
Hello, 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 everybody. Long time no see.
Well, Steve. Hey, kid, this is my publicity man, Steve Bradley. Steve, what brings you around? What's up?
Benny, I'm worried. You're slipping, Dad. We got to do something about your publicity.
Publicity? Well, that's your department.
I know. And I've been working like crazy to get a good stunt to land you on the front pages. Benny, I want you to be as well known as Smog.
Smog? What's good about Smog?
It's in the public eye. Oh, Benny, I'm thinking every minute.
No, bro. Look, Steve, can't you wait?
Can't wait. No time to lose. I thought this was so urgent that when I couldn't reach you by telephone, I sent a message by carrier pigeon.
Carrier pigeon? Oh, that must have been the pigeon that landed on my windowsill.
Yeah. Didn't you see the message tied to its ankle?
Message? Rochester!
Don't look at me! You ain't the legs!
Yeah, I thought the paper on that leg was a panty.
Now, Benny, I've been giving this serious thought. We've got to come up with something for you. Something unusual. Some sort of a stunt.
Now, wait a minute, Steve. Wait a minute. I don't want any more of your stunts.
Wait a minute, Benny. Wait a minute. Hold it.
What?
Why didn't I think of this before? What an idea.
All right, what is it?
Baseball.
Huh?
Look, some years ago, Bob Hope bought himself the Cleveland Indians. Bing Crosby bought the Pittsburgh Pirates. And today, who is everybody talking about?
George Gobel.
What?
And there you are.
Oh, be quiet. Now, Steve, what are you getting at?
Benny, you've got to have a baseball team.
Well, look, Steve, I like the idea, but a baseball team is liable to run into a lot of money.
Leave it to me, Benny. I'll find you a team that won't cost you much dough.
Well, good, good.
I'll get you a team that's unknown, but with a proper training, in a year or two, you can sell them to somebody else and clear yourself a net profit of $1 million.
All right, Steve. It sounds like a great idea. Go out and get me a baseball team.
Leave it to me, Benny. So long, everybody.
You know, kids, I think this baseball idea is going to work out great. It'll give me a lot of publicity.
You're right, Jack. After all, baseball's the national sport. Everybody loves it.
Don's right, Mr. Benny. You know, yesterday, a bunch of my friends came over to my house and asked me to play baseball.
Oh, did you play?
Sure, but every time I hit the ball, I broke a window.
What?
I broke 7 windows.
Well, kid, maybe when you went outside, you played too close to the house.
Oh, outside!
Look, Dennis, why can't you...
Well, Jack, look, I haven't been home yet from the golf course, so let's get on with the rehearsal, will you?
No, we can't. The scripts aren't here yet.
Oh, yeah. Well, why don't you call up CBS and see what's wrong?
All right, I will. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. I know a way to save 80 cents. I'll grill a hole and I'll look through the fence. Dum-dum-dee-dum-da-dee-dum.
Oh, Mabel, what is it, Gertrude? Your outside line is flashing. You get it, will you? Okay. Columbia Broadcasting System. Oh, hello. Well, just a minute, I'll connect you. Mabel, it's Mr. Benny. I wonder what Blossom Boy wants now. He wants me to connect him with the mimeograph department because they haven't delivered his scripts yet. Scripts? Well, how do you like that? He palms himself off as an ad-lib comedian. Yeah. He couldn't ad-lib a click if he had false teeth. Ain't it the truth? I don't care if he can ad-lib or not. I think he's cute. Now, why should you think he's cute? He's gone out with me more times than he has with you. He has not. He has to. Oh, Mabel, let's not argue. When we look like we do, we should be happy we got each other. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm expecting Mr. Benny to pop the question any day now. Pop the question? Why, Mabel, how do you know what happened? What did he say? He didn't say anything. He just kissed me, and I felt so silly. Why? When he kisses me with those thick glasses on, I feel like I'm window shopping. Yeah. I know just what you mean.
You do?
Yeah. One time when he was kissing me, I saw my reflection in his glasses, and I thought my mother was watching her.
Operator, I want the mimeograph department. What? Well, when you get them, tell them to send the scripts out to my house. Goodbye. Yeah, there's nothing to do but wait, I guess. We won't be able to rehearse
now. Hold everything, Benny, on back.
Steve.
Yeah, Benny, you wanted a baseball team and Bradley didn't let you down.
Hey, that's swell.
Now, just sign this contract and the team is yours for $1,000.
Good. There you are. Now, what's the name of the team?
The BBBs.
BBBs, what's that?
Benny's Buxom Bloomer Girls.
Bloomer Girls?
Certainly, Benny. I can see it now all over the sporting page. Pictures of Bob Hope and his Indians, Bing Crosby and his Pirates, Jack Benny and his Bloomers.
Well, Steve, you can't do this.
Hold on, Benny. See how it feels.
Steve. How do you like that? A girls' team. I got a mind to...
Oh, Mr. Benny.
What?
Your slip is showing.
Oh, imagine a girls' baseball team.
Jack
we'll be back in just a moment. But first, another holiday weekend is drawing to a close. And here at CBS Radio, we'd like to remind you that according to an old adage, there's a certain one-way road paved with good intentions. And so is the road to the hospital. After all, it's hard to find anyone who deliberately sets out to have a highway accident. But they happen far too often. Many times, it's the driver's good intentions that can get him into trouble. If he assumes everyone else on the road is as careful and considerate as he may relax his caution. If he assumes that he can handle a car with the best, he may be overconfident and try to squeeze through just once too often. Traffic research shows that most of the people involved in accidents know all the rules of safe driving. Don't be so confident that you forget them. Tonight, as you drive homeward, remember that it's better to take it easy and play it safe. It's better to be Mr. Smith getting home late than the late Mr. Smith.
Good night, everybody.
The show tonight was written by Milt Josephsberg, John Tackerberry, Hal Goldman, Al Gordon, and produced and transcribed by Hilliard Marks. Now here's the host of CBS Radio's great Sunday musical program, The Woolworth Hour, Donald Woods.
Thanks, and hello, everyone. We have 60 minutes every Sunday to bring you the best in music, but many CBS radio shows have to make do with much less time. Marvels of compression are accomplished every day, especially on the quarter-hour programs. Take Wendy Warren and the News, for example. First, every Monday through Friday, you hear a concise wrap-up of CBS News by Douglas Edwards. Recently,
the heart of America still is plagued by tornadoes. In the past 24 hours, twisters have hit sections of Missouri, Nebraska, Kansas, and Oklahoma.
Then, Wendy Warren brings you news reports from the woman's world.
You ladies might like to know that we've heard of a new wrinkle in beauty treatments. No pun intended.
And in that same snug quarter-hour package, you get the warm, intensely interesting story of Wendy Warren herself.
The grass, fire, is fought with every weapon at hand, lest it reach the fringes of the forest and become a holocaust beyond human control. Yes.
You feeling a mite fevery, sweetie? What's beyond human control?
Oh, I'm just finishing a think piece, and that's the closing phrase. Where are you?
Well, that's a foolish question. In my office, 10 yards north by northeast from yours.
Wendy Warren, working newspaper woman, with the emphasis on woman. She and Don Smith had set a date for their wedding, but now Don's ex-wife and his 18-year-old son, Lee, have turned up in New York. Don feels he must first meet his obligations toward the boy, who's being influenced by a woman named Grace Clayburger.
Do you ever have a feeling of, insecurity?
What are you driving at?
You never had a real home. A growing boy needs a father and a mother, and a wife needs a man to fend for her.
I still don't know what you're talking about.
He's your father. Nothing can change that. They were man and wife, those kids, and it wasn't their fault they got split apart. Why couldn't they come back together again? Wouldn't that be an example of the mysterious workings of fate?
I think you see too many movies, Grace.
Yeah, that's what your mother said at first. But she doesn't say it anymore. You notice how she changed her tune about going back to L.A.? Your father and Miss Warren aren't married yet. And all kinds of things could happen, especially if we push them in the right direction. You, Sonny, and your mother. And even me.
Maybe a busybody like Grace Clayburger can upset Don and Wendy's plans. But it won't happen if Wendy can help it.
This isn't easy for me to say, darling. Strangely enough, I'm a bit embarrassed. Just not used to proposing marriage to the man of my choice, I guess. But that's what I'm doing right now. Even if Lee's future isn't settled, I want us to be married as quickly as possible.
Well, I want that, too. More than anything.
But
I don't know how to say it. My life was one thing when you first accepted me. Suddenly, it changed.
Was my place in your life made any the less?
Oh, you know that. That is impossible.
Oh, then please, darling. From now on, let me have the right to make your problems mine. So that we face them mutually and lighten them. And find our way together. Because that's what marriage means, isn't it, my darling?
That's Wendy Warren and the News, a unique program package including the latest news, special news from the woman's world, and Wendy Warren's own story. 15 past moving minutes every Monday through Friday on CBS Radio. This is Donald Woods, and I hope you'll make Wendy Warren and the News part of your regular daytime listening at the Star's address. I hope, too, that you'll be listening next Sunday when I'll be back on CBS Radio with our Woolworth Hour guests, Edie Adams, Victor Moon, Hildegard, and the Hilos.